The days of Noah. Yep. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, "He shall not see our last end." Jeremiah 12:4. The beginning of sorrows is begun and well underway. God is turning a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. Psalm 107:34. A prophecy. There is a finality to God's plan of salvation. God has always had a plan of salvation, a way of escape from this coming judgment. Actually, the second death. He did so in Noah's day of violence and corruption, and he does so in our day. But of that day and hour, no one knows. No, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in these days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, having a gay old time, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:36-39. Also see Luke 17:26-27. The Bible pictures a society of unrestrained sin of every kind. The New Testament frequently mentions it in the same context as Sodom and Gomorrah and Israel's sins caused by Balaam and Korah. The underlying factor in all these situations is rebellion against and rejection of God. Cain, Lamech, and mankind in general never took God into account when they committed their iniquities. As Psalm 10:4 says, "The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts." Getting a picture of today, are we? The depravity and ungodly lifestyles of the entire world at that time were enough to cause the Lord to regret that he had made man, Genesis 6:6. He knew he was going to regret it, so he didn't really regret it, but that's how we see it. We don't know the mind of God, do we? Many scholars believe that part of the need to destroy every human being except Noah and his family was the sin mentioned in Genesis 6:1-4. When the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men and they bore children to them. As evil reproduced and overtook the world, the most merciful act God could perform was to start it over. As our present society reached this state of behavior, 2 Timothy 3:1-4 gives us a clear picture of the state of the world before Jesus comes, and most likely also describes the world in the days of Noah. But mark this, there will be savage times in the last days. That's what the word perilous actually translates down to, savage. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It is becoming increasingly obvious that to understand what the world was like in the days of Noah, we only need to watch the evening news and the blogs and wake up, you know. A few minutes of the evening news or a glance at the news headlines provides enough proof for most saints to answer this question affirmatively. Surely mankind's behavior is not improving, yet has mankind in general reached the point that every intent of the thought of his heart is only evil continually? Genesis 6:5. The way of Cain does not only reveal itself in crime, but also in perversions of every stripe. At a November Human Rights Campaign dinner for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people, President Bill Clinton claimed that moral law is evolving. This was in November 1997. Quote, we're redefining in practical terms the immutable ideas that have guided us, he remarked. This oxymoronic statement seems reasonable to people who have no moral foundation, such as God's law. This is just a pseudo-intellectual way to say, if it feels good, do it. Old Slick continues, saying, quote, most people as they grow older become somewhat limited in their imaginations. And by this he meant get 'em while they're young. He wants to make sure that educators teach youngsters early that certain kinds of sexual activity are not morally wrong, or that one kind is not morally superior to another. Such early sex education is taking place all over the country and in public schools, along with other great educational things happening to our children, and we all know them. And how about the he-she's and the she-he's? And, oh, boy. It's not hard to find evidence that the wickedness of man is great in the earth, Genesis 6:5, and the earth is filled with violence, verse 11. If the end time is characterized by its similarity to the days of Noah, it's best we start looking up. Luke's version makes this especially clear. From Luke 17:26-30. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Where was Lot? He and his family were out before the fire came down, right? Yeah. Father showed his mercy to one single man and his family who resided in Sodom. Such mercy, especially upon just one individual, should be contemplated and praised always, don't you think? People will be involved in their normal activities, not realizing such a momentous event is about to occur. Paul writes, "The day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." That's 1 Thessalonians 5:2-3. Their peace and safety will be achieved when every voice of opposition, worldly or otherwise, will be silenced, or at least off the media. But just when men begin to think they have a handle on society's problems, and they have raped and reaped all the treasures and power they could, total chaos and destruction will erupt. I must add that this chaos, though in its fledgling state, is obvious to the believer right now. Peter reminds us of scoffers coming in the last days who would say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation, 2 Peter 3:4. The apostle goes on to cite an example of the flood, which came on suddenly and unexpectedly, as an event that broke the natural cycle of life. That's in 2 Peter verses 5 and 6, such is the time of Christ's return. All of these prophetic warnings include the admonition to watch and be ready for when it comes, as Paul says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Christ's return will not be sudden and unexpected to the saints. We may not know the day or the hour, but we will be somewhere in the ballpark. Jesus says his day will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth, Luke 21:35. But as verse 34 says, if we take heed to ourselves, not being mired down by sin, we will be expecting it, not obsessing over it, expecting it. We are certainly living in times very like those of the days of Noah, so the return of Christ could come anytime soon. Who knows? But knowing this, our job is to watch and pray and overcome, so that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man, verse 36. Have we marked the old ways which the wicked have trodden? And is our way yet narrow? Do we pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men? For all men do not have faith. Wickedness abounds. Deceit, murders, covetousness, pride, and guile have not departed from our streets. We who have eyes to see and ears to hear have been begotten of God with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of God's creatures. And the evil men, seducers, and inventors of evil today have made themselves gods. They have become the lie. Evil has finally and completely created the illusion of good. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. When it is time and they are about to claim a victory over God and his Christ, God shall cast the fury of his wrath upon them and shall rain it upon them while they are eating. They shall flee from their kingdoms of blood and lust which they had created. They shall dig holes in the earth, and in the mountains will they seek refuge. Ain't they doing that now? Heaven shall reveal their wickedness and shame, and the earth shall rise up against them. That's the scary part. Can you fight nature, which God has created, and the terrible things that he can do with it, and he's done with it, and is doing with it? Fear God. But steel shall strike them through. It's drawn, and it comes out of their bodies. The glittering sword of wrath comes out of their gall. Terrors will be upon them. When a wicked man dies, his expectation shall perish. What have we seen in the days of our vanity? There are just men that perish in their righteousness, and there are wicked men that prolong their lives in their wickedness. The wicked and thus walking dead prosper and rule. God has surely seen that the wickedness of man is again great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. That's Psalm 52:7. God is turning a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein, Psalm 107:34. This is global. We trust in our wickedness and have said, none see me. Our wisdom and our knowledge has perverted us, and we have said in our hearts, I am, and there is none else besides me. The inhabitants of the earth are, all of them, unto God, as Sodom and the inhabitants of Gomorrah. And as David said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. 1 John 5:19. And please do keep this in mind. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Hebrews 2:3. Days of Noah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And nothing's going to get better. At least not for the world. You get your shields up. You watch. You pray. You stand. I'll see you again if God is willing and the cricks don't rise. Amen.